Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Welcome to Celebration Church, everybody. Did you have a good time in worship this morning? I don't know about you, but I did. Awesome. Hey, we're so glad that you're here this morning. My name's Joel. I'm going to talk for the next few minutes together. And the message today is called, I don't even remember what it's called. Didn't you guys put it up? It's called Start the Party. And we believe that we're going to do that here today. Anybody love a good party? Man, I love a party that you don't have to respond to on Facebook. I don't know if I'm going to feel like it that day. It's 4.5 weeks away. I want to decide in the moment if I'm in the mood to start that party, but I love a good organic party that I don't have to respond on Facebook. But have you ever gone through this whole Christianity thing or this whole following Jesus thing? And have you ever wondered, am I doing this right? Come on, am I talking to some real people this morning? In first service, they were like jumping off the seats like, yes, I never know if I'm doing this right. Like, have you ever gone through times like that? Let's be honest. We can be real in church. I have. This has happened to me. You know, there's been times in my life where we go through things and we're going through this Christianity thing saying, am I doing this right? Am I coloring the lines properly? And I love when people aren't sure if they're doing this whole thing right or not. Like, some people are like, how many times are we supposed to do communion in a year? And do we dip the bread or not? Like, does the bread and do I dip it or not? I like that it softens it up personally. But when people are like, tithing, is that every month? Is that yours? Like, and is that gross or net? Like, how exactly am I supposed to, what do I do? Or people are like, well, how many verses a day am I supposed to read? Some of them are long, some of them are short. Some of them I understand, some of them I don't. And what version of the Bible am I supposed to read? How do I be a Christian correctly? What version am I supposed to read of my Bible? Or what is the maximum amount of sin? Exactly. Before you have to put your hand up at the end of prayer that weekend. Like, what's the cap there? So how do we know what we're supposed to do? How do we know if we're doing this thing right? Like, is it how many church services do we have to make it out to in the year? How does that all work? Well, I like this in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And then it ends with this. "And find out what pleases the Lord." Find out what pleases the Lord. Living for God means living to please God. So when we're living for him, we're saying, I'm doing this thing, I'm a part of this, I've given my heart to Jesus. Now it means that we are living to please him. I don't know about you, but if I looked at my life, not everything in my life, even not everything that I did this week, would please the Lord. Can we be real here in church this morning? Come on, second service people, don't hold out on me. There must be a whole lot cleaner people in this service. I don't know about you, but would that be true for your life as well? I think that not everything in my life would please the Lord, and I'm guessing this is the case for you too. And why does this happen? It's not because we're awful people, okay? So we didn't come to church today, gather here, sing a few songs to find out how horrible we are. Amen. That's not what we're going to do in church this morning. But I think most people want to live their life in a way that pleases the Lord. I think most of us do. But different things can come up in our lives. And one of those things is, if the enemy cannot steal your salvation, he will try and steal your mission. If he can't take your salvation away, well, he will always settle for second best, and he'll steal your mission. He will work to steal your mission. And I think what happens to most of us is we find ourselves in a place in life where we don't fully understand what pleases the Lord. Have you ever, I think that happens to me sometimes. Well, I don't fully understand. Maybe I haven't gone back to my Bible enough that I find out we don't fully know what pleases the Lord. Yeah. Like I mentioned before, some of us think it's how much we read our Bible. Maybe that's what pleases the Lord. How much we pray, maybe. Or that we make it to church every single Sunday on time. Or maybe it's how little we swear on the job site, you know? You smack yourself with that hammer and you're like, crying out loud, hallelujah. Maybe that's what pleases the Lord. Maybe it's how much we give. Maybe it's that, maybe that's it. Or maybe it's just how little we sin. Maybe our life is like a big, juicy fat steak and we just got to trim the fat off. All right, we're just slowly trimming it. Once we get down to that nice, lean piece of steak, that is how our lives please the Lord. And some of these things are great, but it can't be all that this relationship is about. Because what I've seen in my life and other people's as well is sometimes we focus on being good. And it's like, we gotta be good. We gotta get our ducks in a row. We gotta, you know, do all these things to make ourselves good. And then we start living, we start developing a self-righteous lifestyle. Because it's all about how good we are and how we live our life and how we have these things in line. As if there's a map in our mind to get closer to Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus ends up being about reaching instead of receiving. It ends up being about, I got to reach this next level with him. I got to do this next thing. And maybe this will get me closer, when we're supposed to just receive what he has for us. Yeah. We're just supposed to receive salvation. It's freely given. It's a gift waiting for us to take. But we find ourselves in our life, you know, being good and doing certain things. And all of a sudden, it's about reaching something. And so sometimes I find that we get into a place in life where we just don't understand what pleases the Lord. Another place that I find myself getting into, and I see other people getting into it as well, is we just forget to please the Lord. We just forget. We just become so familiar with being a good person, with having a pretty good life, that we forget why we're here. We forget to please the Lord. If my life is not about pleasing God, then my life is about pleasing people. Because your life is going to be about pleasing someone. But if my life isn't about pleasing the Lord, it's going to be about pleasing people. Yeah. Maybe your wife, and you should keep your wife happy, just FYI. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your kids. Endless amount of pleasing them. Maybe it's your boss. But for a lot of us, the person is ourselves. Our lives become about pleasing people, and that person is us. Your life is definitely about pleasing someone. We just need to make sure that's the right someone. Because in life, we can forget that we're on mission. Have you ever, this happens to me commonly, have you ever walked into a room or like walked to your garage, you walk a bit of a distance, and you get there and you forget why you went there? This happens to me. My garage is separated from my house, so I take my little stroll out there, I get to the garage, I, you know, punch the code in, I get there. What was I doing here? And then, you know, you start cleaning, you start thinking about all the things that are wrong with your life and why you need to get things together. There's a rock here, I chipped on it. But has this ever happened to you? Yeah. You go into a room and you forget why you're there. Why did I come out here? It doesn't happen to me in the winter because I run outside. Oh, it's so cold. You just run straight for that thing and run right back inside. But I think that some people are living their lives like this. You go to do something and then you forget, why am I here again? You get to a place in your life and you just forget, what is this? There's plenty of things in our world to get distracted by. Man, there's even things at church that we can get distracted by. There's things in our lives, and thank God, we live in such an amazing country. We live in the best country in the world. Say what you want. Canada is the greatest country in the world. I love it. But the thing about it is our lives are so good that there's plenty to distract us from the reason we're supposed to be here. What is our mission supposed to be? Now in Matthew 28, I think that Jesus talks about the reason we're here, the mission, a command. And this is called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. As surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I think sometimes people hear this and they think, am I supposed to go on a missions trip? Am I supposed to travel across the world? Am I supposed to go and do something somewhere else? When we're not in a place of our lives where we're not even reaching the bar, we're at a place in our lives where we're not even reaching the barista that we see every morning. Or we're at a place in our lives where we're not reaching, making a disciple of the neighbor that we cook chicken beside every single night. You know what I'm talking about? You see your neighbor out in the backyard cooking chicken. You talk to him whether you want to or not. But I think that this happens to people. We think that, and I'm not slamming missions work at all. I'm just saying that people get this in their mind and they read this as if it's a missions trip verse, but it's a verse for our lives to go and make disciples of all nations, including the one we live in. And this is a command. But the problem is the Great Commission has become the Great Suggestion. Wow. Right? It doesn't say, if you have time, if you think about it, once a year, go and make, you know, once in your lifetime, go and make this. No, it says, therefore, go. Yeah. We've been commanded to go and preach the gospel, but we don't always do that, do we? Who is called to go into the world? We are. We are. Now, I don't think that God picks favorites. But what if he did? What if he did? I think I would want to be his favorite. Wouldn't you want to be the favorite child? What would his favorite look like? If God picked favorites, what would his favorite look like? I think it would be someone who cares about what he cares about. You know, in order to get my earthly father's attention, my dad who's on this earth, in order to get his attention, I just gotta talk about what he cares about. So if I say something about a motorcycle, all of a sudden, boom, it's like smelling salt. He's just, oh, I'm alive. Who, what, you know, he'd just come bursting into a room. What are you guys talking about? If I talk about, because he cares about motorcycles a lot. Other things too. Cares about his kids and stuff. That's good. But if I want to get his attention, I just got to care about what he cares about. I can't help but think that this can work with God a little bit. I want my Heavenly Father's attention. So care about what he cares about. We just need to care about what he cares about. Well, what would this look like? I think that Jesus gives us a clear heart of the Father. In John 21, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. A third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. In the Bible, Jesus talks about himself being the bread of life, that those who eat of him will not go hungry. So we see that what Jesus cares about. We see the heart of Jesus. We see the heart of God in this text. But have you ever, now parents of young children, I want to talk to you this morning for a second because I'm in your shoes. Have you ever, you know, you get home, this happens to us pretty much every day. We get home from work and our son is so hungry. He needs something to eat. And so my wife or myself, we start making dinner. We're working as hard as possible. And the whole time he's like, feed me. I'm so hungry. I need to eat right now. And you're like, okay, you're trying to keep him distracted. You're trying to do all these things to get dinner on the table. And then you finally get the food out. It's nice and steaming hot. And you put his in the fridge for a couple minutes so that it's good, ready for him to eat. And you're ready to sit down and have this beautiful meal together. And you put it in front of him. He's like, no, I want a snack. You know? And he pushes it away. He's not interested in eating. Pretty much every single night, usually my wife or myself, is not eating our food. We're letting it go cold. We're letting it get glazed over. You know how food kind of glazes over because we're so focused on getting our son to eat. Why? Because he needs it. Because we care about him. Because we know bedtime is going to be an absolute nightmare if this kid doesn't eat. But we care about him. And to me, I've gotten to a point in my life where I don't care if the food is cold. I want to see my son eat. I want to see my son full. I want to make sure that he feels good at the end of this. I want to make sure he gets the nutrients that he needs, even if that means that I'll eat cold food tonight. This is the heart of God. And I think oftentimes we're so focused on making sure that we get a hot meal for ourselves. And there's starving people in our world that need a hot meal for themselves, that need what we have, that need what we've been getting so much. And we're not even willing to take the time to say, I'll eat in a minute, but right now I want to make sure that you get what you need. I think that's the heart of God. To say, hey, I know you'll get taken care of. I know you'll get what you need. But see my heart. Love what I love. Care about what I care about. Make sure that the people who need the bread of life in their world get something to eat. Luke 15, Jesus says this. He said, it says in the text, Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. Notice how they separate tax collectors and sinners, because the tax collectors are a whole new level of sinner. Just kidding, if you're watching online. Don't post that. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. So these guys are upset. These religious people are upset that Jesus is eating with these sinners, these people who are far from God and don't know about his mission. And then Jesus told them this parable. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together. And he says, rejoice with me. They're having a party. I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. When someone comes to Jesus, there's a party. Our goal in life needs to be to start a party in heaven. Our goal in life must be that I'm going to start a party. I got to be a party starter in my life. So how do I get this party started? Help a sinner out. Help a sinner out. Be a bringer. Did you know that 90, I'm going to just say a stat. If somewhere I didn't write it down. I think it's something like 92% of people who are saved, who find Jesus, that happens in the context of a church like this, right? So there's other ways to find him for sure. You can pick up a Bible, you know, you can hear something online, but 92% of people who come to Jesus come to it because of the church. And 82% of people, I also read this online so you know it's true, 82% of people would go to church if someone invited them, but only 2% of Christians invite people to church with them. What if we could up that to even just 10%? Yeah, that's good. What if just 10% said, I am going to be a part of starting the party. Yeah. I'm going to get this party started. See, God's way of reaching people is through people. God's way of reaching people is through people. That's why we don't come here early in the morning and look at the stage and go, okay, God, you lead worship today. Now, he could. But we don't come here and say, okay, God, get the drums. You know, use the 5Bs. I like those ones or whatever size. I don't know. And that was a drummer joke, but there's no drummers. They didn't get it. But God, you come, you play this keyboard, and you do this thing. No, we don't do that. Why? Because God works through people. God's way of reaching people is through people. So what do? We put a team of people together so that the presence of God can come in a place of worship, because God works through people. And there are people in your world who have an appointment with God, but they need you to get them there. There is people in your life that God is preparing something for them. God has a plan for them. He has something for them that makes them feel like, okay, I found why I'm here on earth. He wants them to feel the forgiveness that you have found. He wants them to feel the love that you've found. And he has an appointment that he's creating for them. But he needs you to bring them there. So let's not tolerate lost people. Let's love lost people.
Yeah, that's so good.
My question for you this morning is, do you see the people in your life as your sheep? Do you see the people who are far from God in your life as your sheep? Or are they God's problem? Or are they somebody else's problem? I think they're in your world for a reason.
Yeah.
I think you work at that job for a reason. I think you go to that coffee shop for a reason.
Yeah,
if you don't reach them, who will? So what are we going to do about this? The first thing I think we need to do is carry the burden. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, carry the burden? Oh my gosh, it is 11:45. Wake up, people. Turn to your neighbor, yell in their face, carry the burden. Listen, it needs to bother us. It needs to bother us that people are going to hell. That's not a comfortable thing to say on stage. To talk about that, to say that people that you love, people that we see week to week are going to hell. That is uncomfortable to talk about. And it's even more uncomfortable to think about. Man, when that day comes, can you imagine somebody coming to you and saying, why didn't you tell me? Well, I was worried about what you think about me. Well, I didn't want to sound weird. It needs to bother us. Sometimes people criticize the church. They say, oh, this church just keeps trying to get bigger. You know, I've heard people criticize, not just our church, just churches in general. It's church, it's all about bringing new people in. But what about me? I'm here every week. I serve on 4 teams. What about me, Becky? Nobody thinks about me. But you want church to be better for you? Do you want to enjoy this experience more? Do you? I do. Try inviting someone and bringing them with you. It makes it so much better for you.
Yeah.
It's so fulfilling. Not only to see that the moment that they can have with Jesus, or to see them sit there and cross their arms and be like, I ain't into this. That's great. But man, my friends came last year, and I've been praying, inviting, and just believing that would happen. And they came, and man, I was so excited to see them here. And I was on worship. I was singing that week, and I ran off stage, and I went into kids, and I was like, I need to make sure the kids having a good time. And what it did for me was I went into that room. I wasn't even supposed to be in there, but sometimes I get a pass, all right? So I walked into that room, and I watched. There's a lady named Stacy in our kids ministry. And she's not in here because she's watching your kids, but I just watched her take amazing care of their little boy. And I just thought, man, the church is so special. Man, this isn't childcare, but they're really taking care. They're bringing church into that room. The message was playing. I just thought, this is beautiful. This is amazing. If you want church to be better, bring somebody with you and walk them through that experience. See, the church is like this big, beautiful cruise ship, and we're out in the middle of the ocean, and there's people in the water, and they're treading water, and they're getting exhausted, and they know that eventually they could drown. They're out there treading water, and if we don't pull them in with us, they eventually will drown. Man, we need to be about getting people out of the water and into the ship with us. And sometimes our life looks like this. We're walking around the cruise ship going, is anybody going to get this buffet going? Is anybody going to take care of, you know, this place is nice. I noticed the water slide is down. Can anybody help this be a little bit more comfortable for me? Meanwhile, there's people in the water that you could be pulling up on the ship with you. Yeah, it's a beautiful ship. Yeah, it's great. But let's pull some people up with us. Because at one point in time, you were in that water. You just forgot what it was like. We're on mission. We're on mission. in the middle of the ocean. We are on mission. So you want to start a party? Let's carry the burden. You want to start a party? Study the person. Turn to your other neighbor, say, study the person. Oh, you guys didn't learn from the... Shout it in your neighbor's face. Study the person. See, right now this is a monologue. This is me talking to you. But when you're talking to somebody face-to-face about Jesus or inviting them to church, it should be a dialogue. See, here's what I've seen happen. And I've done this before. I'm guilty of it. Is, you know, you hear a message like this, or you know you're supposed to do this, and so you start to get a little bit nervous. You know, your hands get a little clammy, and your heart's like racing. You're like, am I going to really invite someone to my church? Is this going to go down right now? And you get so nervous, and you got the card that was on your seat, and you're ready. You're about to do it, and you're like, okay, here we go. Here we go. Come to my church. Woo! I'm out of here. Before I think I'm weird, I call it the grenade invite. You're like, drop that thing before anything goes down. I'm out of here. But let's dialogue with people. See, everyone's favorite subject is themselves. So let's build that bridge. Let's care about people. And let's make our point without making an enemy. Right? Not like, oh, you're going to hell. You know, you're a sinner. Come to my church this Sunday too, by the way. Come on, studying comes from caring. Care enough to study somebody. If you want to start a party, study people. And the last thing that we need to do is to tell our story. Tell your story. You know, your personal testimony, what Jesus has done for you, is your best evangelism. People don't connect with Jesus yet, but they do connect with you. So tell people what Jesus did for you. They don't know Jesus yet, but they do know you. And speak in a language. Let's speak in a language that people understand. You know, sometimes we're at church for so long, we're like, oh yeah, I love Jesus. I was washed by the blood of the Lamb. And they're like, oh my gosh, what? I am a vegan and I will never come to your church. Sick. It's important that you invite people here. Speak their language and invite them to your church. This isn't like, sometimes people say to me like, oh yeah, your church. But they come here and I'm like, no, no, it's your church. Yeah. It's not my church. Yeah. It's God's church first, yeah. Right? And we're serving it, we're building it, but we all own this. Yeah. If we want this to be better, this is our church. Yeah. Ownership leads, responsibility leads to ownership, right? So we just decide we're responsible for what takes place here. Yeah. We're responsible for a great situation. We're responsible for an amazing Sunday morning. We just take ownership and say, this is my church. This is our church. So if you, and tell people why, from your perspective. Why would I come here? From your perspective. They want to hear from you. You are the testimonial in this whole thing. Start the party by telling your story. You know, our church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. So this is not a waiting room where we come in and we get our spot. And we wait till our number is called to go to heaven. That is not what this is. Yet sometimes we treat it that way. It happens. It just kind of creeps in. You know what? Don't sit in my spot. Don't park in my spot. Okay, I'm here. All right, I am here. I'm waiting to get to heaven. I'm enjoying this experience. No, but we need to start that party in heaven. And if you're not getting what you want from church, try bringing someone with you. See, our church should be structured in a way that's pleasing the Father. And our hearts should be positioned in a way that's pleasing the Father. And if you haven't thought about this much, or maybe you're feeling guilty this morning, that you haven't reached out to someone in a while, or you haven't invited someone in a while, man, God's not mad at you, but he does have a mission for you. God is not mad at you, but he's got a mission for you. He doesn't, or at least I don't think, he picks favorites. But if he did, I'd want to be one. So to answer the question that we asked at the start of all this is, how do I know if I'm doing this right? Simple. If you love me, feed my sheep. You love me, feed my sheep, or love what I love. And the things that seem like religious requirements will become relational joys. When I used to work in the auto industry, a lot of the guys would be like, oh, there's Joel still not having sex with his girlfriend. Yeah, because somebody asked me that one day in front of a bunch of people. And of course, the Christian guy had to answer. Oh, there's Joel. He's not drinking any beer. Hey, Joel, we're going out for beers. Oh, wait, no, you want a water? Like they would say stuff. They'd be like, oh, there he is. He's dipping his grilled cheese in his tomato soup because he's doing communion at lunch hour. You know? See, a lot of people think that that's what Christianity is. Because what they've seen displayed in religion before is just that. Religion. Routine. Doing something with no purpose behind it. But what we have is relationship. We get categorized as a religion, but it's all about a relationship. And when you have this relationship, you don't worry about, when you love God so much, you don't worry about sin so much because you just love him so much that the sin just kind of ends up falling out of your life a lot of times. And I want to tell you that this week, as we invite people, as we bring people to Easter service, you don't have to be someone's source. But you can be their secretary. You can tell them about the appointment that's been booked for them. The appointment that God has had for years with them. You don't gotta be their source. You don't gotta have all the answers, but let's be secretaries. Let's tell people about what's happening. I wanna challenge you this week. You can just go ahead right now and there was an invite on your chair. Maybe there was a couple invites on your chair, but just grab the invites right now that were on your chairs. Wherever you might have thrown them on the ground. That's okay, no judging. Pick it up now, keep it in good shape. And I just want to challenge you this week. God works through people. And it doesn't matter if you've been following him for an hour, a year, 10 years, 20 years. He still wants to work through you. I don't know if your whole family's far from him or if the only people you know that are far from him is maybe a barista in your life. I go to a coffee shop every day. That's why I talk about baristas so much. But God wants to work through your life this week. He does. And so these invite cards are something to help you with that. And you can post on social media. Do it. That's great. People will come from that, but a personal invitation carries a lot of weight. And I think that we should hold that weight on our backs this week. I want to challenge you to invite someone. You might have had two of these. If you didn't have two, if you only have one, steal one from somebody. I don't know. Grab one off a seat on your way out. But I want to challenge you to invite two people this week. There's a reason we didn't put 10 in these packs, because 10 is, that's a lot of work. You'd have to take the vacation week off to do that. But I challenge you to invite two people this week. Invite one person that you're fairly close to, that you've spent a decent amount of time with. I just challenge you, do that. Somebody that you can kind of have a little bit more dialogue with. And then invite someone randomly. Maybe you've known them for a little bit. You only see them at their business or whatever. You're not super close to them. But invite somebody else randomly, because I believe that God's going to work through that too. And don't grenade them with it. But maybe it's that you're going to tip your server a big tip, and then you're going to invite them. Don't you dare tip your server 5%. Yeah. And they'll be like, come to my church. They'll be like, no, you're a bunch of cheap. Tip them good, and then leave it with that. You know, one of our staff this week, they took little Easter egg bags, Cadbury, I think they're Cadbury. Anyways, they're delicious. They stapled these invites to those eggs and they gave them to all the couriers that came in during the week. Because a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way. But I believe that God's going to use your life this week. Don't just leave here. Don't just leave church today saying, oh, that message made me feel good. Let's leave challenged. Let's leave a little bit scared. And let's ask God to work through us. believing that we can change this city together. I want you to grab that invite right now, and I want you to do this with me. If you really believe that God's going to work through your life this week, if you want God to work through your life this week, if you want an appointment to come up where you can invite someone to church this week, I want us to pray over these together. And don't do this if you don't mean it. Don't do this if you don't want to do it. In fact, if you don't think you're going to do it, if you don't want to, then I would encourage you to just leave it because somebody else can use it. But if you're here today and you're saying, I'm ready to step up, I'm ready to start that party, I'm ready to be a party starter, then we're going to pray over these things together. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to just shoot them up. Let's have our invites in our hand. But if you really mean it, if you want God to work through your life this week, on the count of three, one, two, three, let's lift up these invites right now. I want to pray over you. Jesus, I just thank you for the hearts of your people, Lord God. I just thank you that you love us so much. God, I thank you for the grace that you've shown us. Thank you for the love that you've shown us. I thank you for the favor that you've shown us, God. Man, our lives are so special and so precious. I pray that we'd remember there's so many precious lives in our city, in our families, at our workplaces that they need you. They don't know it, but they need you so bad. You're the peace they've been looking for. You're the hope they've been looking for. You're the salvation they need. I pray that it would bother us that people are far from you. And God, I pray for a passion in our hearts that we would be excited about showing people your love. So I pray right now, God, that no invitation would go in the garbage. No invitation would go in the wash. No invitation would be thrown out next weekend. God, I pray for all these invitations right now, that they would go into the hands of people who need them. Hands of people who are far from you. And God, we just thank you that we're going to see salvation happen next weekend in our Easter service because we were faithful with these little invitations we've been given. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, at the end of the day, this message is about living a life of surrender. And that's what we're doing. We're just giving a little bit more of ourselves to God, saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We're giving you a little bit more of ourselves, a little bit more of our dignity. We're not going to hold it back. But we're just going to say, I'm going to make this step of faith and invite someone to church. You know, if you're in this room today, and as you've heard me speak this message about invitation and bringing people back to Jesus, if you're in this room today and you heard me maybe talk about the boat and we're pulling people up on the boat with us, and maybe you're in the room and you're like, I feel like I'm one of those people in that water. I'm about to drown, but as I hear about Jesus, I want him in my heart. Maybe you've prayed a prayer before to ask him into your heart, but you know you're not living for him right now. If you're in the room today and you'd like to change that, and you've decided that you need that salvation, you realize that you're not living for him and you'd like to change that, I'd like to pray with you this morning to make that decision. It would be such an honor to take a moment right now to pray with you, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and be Lord of your life. So I just ask if the whole church could just bow their heads and close their eyes right now, and just respect for everyone around us. We could just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, to repeat after me, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that. I'm just going to ask you to put up your hand on the count of three, and we're going to pray this together. It's going to be a moment between you and God, and it is the best decision you will ever make in your entire life. So if you'd like to pray this prayer along with me, with all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed, on the count of three, just shoot your hand up nice and high so I see who I'm praying with. One, two, three. Come on, shoot your hand up right now. Awesome. There's hands all over this room. Let's keep those hands nice and high. And if I could ask everyone in the room to repeat after me in agreeance with all of those making the best decision they could ever make this morning. Come on, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe in you. Today, I confess you as Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. From now on, I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's say a good amen together.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.